Turn me if you can to Galatians 9, 6 and 9. And I'm going to read Galatians 6 and 9 and also Corinthians 2, 4 and 8. Hallelujah. And it reads according to Galatians 9 and 8, written by Paul. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we are in the month of September, season of the harvest, October harvest and November harvest, the beginning of the harvest month time. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And I like how the Amplified Bible puts it. It says, and let's not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, D-U-E, season, you shall reap it if we do not lose heart. Go with me quickly, if you can, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 2:4-8. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says here, and we are pressed in every way, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unassured of finding out the way, but not driven to despair. Say, not driven to despair. For Father, today, help me preach today, Lord. Give me the tongue of a faithful, ready writer so I can speak your word in clarity and in strength, with conviction and with power. That someone here who hears it, God, be set free. That someone here who hears it, God, be delivered. For someone here, God, who hears it, just get a touch from the Lord today. Father, today, God, send a word in such a way that cancer runs. Send a word in such a way that diabetes dries up. Send a word in such a way that anxiety begins to loose the bands. Send a word in such a way, God, that depression begins to say, run. Send a word today, God, and we'll be give you so much praise, so much glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. For he's a wonder in my soul. Grab your neighbor if you can and pull him down and say, neighbor, don't be frustrated. Hey, neighbor, the voice is say, frustrated. Say, frustrated, frustrated, frustrated. Grab him down real good. I see you in the back row. Come on, grab him down real good. Tell him, frustrated, 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 frustrated. If you let me preach this minute, frustrated, 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 frustrated. My brothers and sisters in the Lord's church, we are at a critical time in the year, and we have to be wise enough to admit if it wasn't for the hand of God who was on our side, we would have not made it thus far. Not just physically and spiritually, but mentally. This year has been a mental battle for real. Can I tell you that we serve the Lord with our minds according to Mark 22:37? Jesus says, thou shalt serve the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It has been a fight just to think yourself happy. I would like to thank God for just a moment for having a right mind. The older generation used to say it like this. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. God was clothed in my right mind. And I like that declaration. I was clothed in my right mind. That meaning says he didn't let me go without being covered. Clothes help you not to be exposed to unfavorable conditions. Clothes help us to navigate through difficult climates and difficult environments and difficult conditions. I know we have said it before, but it doesn't hurt to repeat it in the chant, in this chant of victory. I'm in my right mind. Could have lost it a couple of times, but I'm still in my right mind. Should have lost it a couple of times, but I'm still in my right mind. But thanks be unto God who giveth us, hallelujah, who giveth us to triumph. If I can think it, I can change it. If I can think it, I can move it. If I can think it, it can happen. If I can word it, it can come to pass. I thank God for giving me my living mind, and I can't be frustrated. The question we should be asking is, why is there such an attack on my mental? Why does the enemy want to keep me frustrated? Why the situations want to keep me frustrated? Why the circumstance wants to keep me frustrated? Why does my friends want to keep me frustrated, who I call my friends. Why do my, sometimes my religious leaders, oh my God, wants to keep us frustrated. Why the church sometimes keeps us frustrated. My job sometimes keep me frustrated. My friends, my wife, my family sometimes keep me frustrated. Why can it seem as though I cannot find a break from this frustration? My not being able to move like I want to be able to move, not being able to accomplish like I want to accomplish things. I'm just in a moment of frustration. Why is there such an attack on my mental? Why is there such an attack on my consciousness? Why is there such an attack on my thinking? Why is there an attack on my purpose? It's just frustrating. I can only deduce that there must be something more about me and what I'm capable of. There is a must in me, a must in you that must be discovered that's going to unlock shut doors. There's a must in you, a must in you, a must find, a must get to. I know you're frustrated, but there's a must in you, a must get to. Something in you that can unlock the doors of finance, unlock the doors of freedom, unlock the doors of liberty. There's got to be something in you, and you must be close, because frustration only happens when I'm close to getting to what I should get, and it's not happening like I planned it to happen. How I wish you. That's why I must tell you, brother, sister, can I encourage you that even in the midst of frustration, you must increase your hunger to have it. You must say, I need to open up a capacity to have it. Why? I want to occupy, to seek it out, whatever it takes. Glory to God. Kick the door in, scream, holler at your Jericho until your walls fall. The walls of disappointment, the walls of shed behind, the walls of not letting me go forward. Holler at the walls if the walls fall. The walls of lack, the walls that got me going around in circles. Because that song says, you got me going in circles and round I go. I'm just frustrated. I'm just frustrated. Hallelujah. We're going to get there. We must ask till the right answer comes. We must knock till the right door is open. We must seek to the right thing, till the right word is dropped on us. Because all it takes is one word, and it will loose the bands of wickedness. It will loose who you are. There must be a burning desire to live in that place. What's that place? The place of peace. The place of acquisition. The place that keeps me going. That's why there's something inside of you that keeps you going. That's why you're frustrated, because something inside of you keeps you going. And something inside of you knows, there is a better way. I have more options. There's something on the other side that's bearing this. That's why I'm frustrated, because I cannot get there. I cannot reach. I've tried myself, and somehow or another, I'm still locked behind the door. I give my tithe. I've danced, and I've paid my tithe. I've kept my vow to the church, and I somehow, God or another, I'm still frustrated. We must be close just to know that I'm being revealed. Hallelujah, to the likeness and the image of God. Hallelujah, to come into the light of his declaration. Glory to God. And to embrace this clarion call. My life is still manifesting his purpose. Can I tell you, your life is still manifesting his purpose. Can I encourage you, the beloved of God, not to get frustrated with purpose. Not to get frustrated with process. Not to get frustrated. I know you can ask. How about this? Let's just ask questions and not get frustrated. Let's just have conversations and not get frustrated. I believe God wants you and I to have conversations with him that can alleviate frustration. That's why you heard Pastor Miller. That's why I believe counseling is such an important part of a person's life. Why? A wise man, the Bible says, seeketh counsel. In other words, even a wise man seeketh counsel? A wise man knows I'm frustrated and I need to speak out what's inside. Because my inside may be speaking something for me. There's something in me that's calling. There's something in me that's calling something in me. That's why I am frustrated. Can I encourage you, the beloved of God, not to get frustrated with purpose? I believe frustration can be a ministering tool to get you in position and to posture you. Your posture must fit your future. Your posture must fit your future. To your neighbor, my posture must fit my future for a deeper life, for a deeper seek life, for a deeper prayer life, for a deeper appreciation of the grace of God in your life. Your life is just a filling station till you get to your yes. And when you get to your yes, there's going to be a series of yes that will birth you to your ultimate yes. That's why you're frustrated, because there's a yes in your life that must be said. There's a yes in your life that must go forth out of you. There's a yes in your life, and there's a series of yeses that you must say that will birth you to your ultimate yes. You want to tell me, Pastor, yes, yes, yes. Don't get permanently frustrated with life. Doesn't match your timeline for success. Don't get frustrated when, hallelujah, when life doesn't match your timeline for success. What, hallelujah, what you see does not change what he said. Hallelujah. Can I say that again? Can I say that again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be frustrated when life doesn't match your timeline for success. What you see does not change what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you see does not change what he said. What's going on in your life does not change what he said. What you are up against does not change what he said. Glory to God on high. I'm just frustrated, God. Sometimes we got to say, you know what? I'm just frustrated. There's a story in the Bible that goes along when Jesus should have, when Mary and Martha had sent Jesus, said, Jesus, why are you not here? For Lazarus is dying and Lazarus is sick. And Jesus turned down the invitation. And Jesus says, I'm not going to show up just now. I'm going to come. And when he came 4 days later. He came 4 days after he had heard that Lazarus was sick. And after Lazarus, notice this, after he had heard Lazarus sick, and then he waited 4 days after he had Lazarus sick and died, and then he waited 4 days later to come. He took his sweet, precious time. And when Mary Martha saw him coming, she was frustrated, and she ran at Jesus. And when she ran at Jesus, she was venting to him. The Bible says she vented to him. She said, where was you? I trusted you. I depended on you. And every time I call it, hallelujah, I trust you. I appreciate it. And when you were in need, I ministered to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm about to lose my mind. Glory to God. She said, Jesus, where was you at? When you were in need, I came and I ministered to you. And you were not there for me. I called you a long time ago. I called you and I sent letters. And I know you got my text. I know you got my call. I know you got my email. I know you got my fax. I know you got it. I know you got my plea for you to come. And you still did not come when I needed you to come. And she was frustrated. And she was talking to the master. But yet and still, while she was frustrated, she still was talking to the master. And God, Jesus, in his kindness, when the disciples wanted to tell her stop, he said, no, let her vent. I need her to release what's inside of her. I need her to release this frustration. I need her to. And after she released the frustration, he said, who am I? Do you believe in the resurrection? And after she was frustrated, notice how Jesus, I love him. I love his word. Notice what happened. She was frustrated. And after she was frustrated, God said, then after he heard what she said, he let her vent. He saw her tears. He let her tears cry. He let her wipe her eyes. And after she did all that, he turned around and said, do you believe in the resurrection? She said, yes, I believe in the resurrection. He said, and the resurrection is here. God, I just thank him. And then she said, show me where your frustration is. Show me, take me where your frustration lies. Because I'm going to, hallelujah, because when I get there, I'm going to speak a word over your frustration tonight. My brothers, I come to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, where your frustration is. God's going to speak a word today over your frustration. Hallelujah. And so she began to vent. And when she began to vent, Jesus said, okay. He said, okay, Lazarus, I know. Isn't this funny? That's why I love him, hallelujah. I love him sometime to be late. I love him sometime to be late. Because when he laid on something, and when he turns it around for you, when he's laid on something, and you've already buried it and wrapped it up and put it away, you have buried it, wrapped it up, and put it away, all of a sudden when he shows up, glory to God, I feel it. When he shows up and you buried it and put it away and you did it by yourself, and then when he shows up, he says, show me where it is. I need you to take me to where it is, because he knows everything. Take me to where it is. And when she took it where it is, he said, there he lies right there. And then God spoke a word. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And after Lazarus came forth, everything that was eaten away of Lazarus had to put his stuff back on to Lazarus. Everything that was taken away from him while Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days, I'm sure decay and everything started to go. I'm sure there was some body decay going on. And when God spoke a word, everything that was in there that was eaten away at Lazarus' body had to cough it up and put it right back in the same place. Hallelujah. And then they call out again, and Lazarus hopped to the door. Hopped to the door. And Jesus says, loose him. And he said, I'm going to loose him. He said, you loose him. And you let him go. Because when you have frustration, you got to let go and you got to loose it. And so do not get permanently frustrated in your life when it doesn't match your timeline. For frustration means, in Webster, worthless and to no avail, defeat or nullify. You know how frustration sounds. It sounds like this. Because frustration has a language all by itself. Frustration sounds like this. Why am I living? Why am I living saving the best I know how to? And them over there, you know who them over there is. Them over there. They ain't even living a nickel worth of dog meat, and all of a sudden they get everything. They live in best of life. They have no problems like I have. God, why are the evildoers seem to be doing better than the ones in the church? Hallelujah. We look on TV and all we see is them having joy, them having finances, them having the opposite of life, them having the good things of life. And all this is the language of the frustrated. But can I minister to you, believer, who are frustrated right now? You cannot let the malfunction of life interfere with the consciousness thought that God has on your life and the assignment which God has for you. For God is giving you a way for a divine deposit. Don't let difficulties define your identity. Don't let difficulties define your identity. You can label yourself while going through purpose frustration. Can I say that again? I believe that God has purposed. He won't tempt us, but there's purpose in frustration. Thank you, Jesus. And I know people, and that's all is people know about you, because you don't want to make frustration your condition. Because the Bible speaks many times about people who were living in conditions. You didn't know their name, but you knew their conditions. And most times people identify people by their conditions, by their frustrations, and not their name. You know how they say, oh, that one over there that has a little bit of weight on them, you know who it is. Oh, you know the girl that has the big feet, or the dude that has the big afro. You know the guy with the great big giant nose. You know it's just a condition. You know the one that scratches all the time. That one, I'm talking about the one that scratches all the time. You know what I'm talking about. It's just, you cannot let a condition label you, because it's easy to put on labels. It's easy to put on labels, but it's difficult to get yourself off of a label, because a label has sticky stuff on it. Oh, God. And this condition could take resident in you. If you're not careful, the condition could take resident on you. There was a story in the Bible about a lady who had a problem with her hematobin. Had a problem with her hematobin, and she suffered with it for 12 long years. And because she's over there long years, she had an issue of blood. And the Bible says, but what happened is that even with her condition, she said, I can imagine her sitting in the clinic that day. I can imagine sitting in the clinic where the hematobin, I can imagine sitting in the clinic. And all of a sudden, while she's in the clinic, something happens to her. While she's in the clinic, she's sitting down, she's enjoying the clinic. And then she heard a noise in the clinic. And she said, what is that noise outside the clinic? And she said, you know what? I must get out of here, because I can imagine her reading the daily Jerusalem Gazette, the daily Jerusalem newspaper. And they were talking to him. I'm sure there was a story about Jesus in the way, because she heard a word somewhere. And while she heard a word somewhere, she said that there must be a better option. There was some chatter in the street. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it get around. And then she said, I'm going to seek after why. There must be a better option. You cannot let frustration mantle you with a condition that you cannot get rid of. You cannot allow frustration to take you off of your square. You cannot allow frustration to do anything. You cannot allow frustration to take you from being who you should be. Because life will come with frustration. And you must understand that frustration is just a ministering tool to get you to purpose and to get you to position. I'll say it again. You must understand that frustration in your life is a ministering tool to get you to purpose and to get you in position. To posture you for your new upcoming, to posture you for your way out, to posture you for your breakthrough. There will be frustration in your life. Can I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, and I want to make a sincere announcement to you, there's going to be frustration. There's going to be circumstances. But I understand you saying, but pastor, how heavy does it must get? Pastor, I know some trouble going to come my way. I know this life wasn't meant to be easy. I know some trouble come my way, pastor, but how heavy will it get? Will I ever get from this cloud? Will I ever get from this position? Will I ever move to a new level? Will I ever get to a new status in life? Will I ever move from this? Because this is not what I imagine in my life. What happens when your experience is not what you should be expecting? Most times in life, I found out that there is options, and some people don't know there is options. Do you know the other day? And I'm finished. The other day, because of frustration, there was a story in the paper about the man who was in charge of Bed Bath and Beyond. Man in charge of Bed Bath and Beyond, living a fabulous rich life, great rich life, and I'm not preaching against great rich life. But he heard one bad story. He heard one bad report, and the man that was living on an 18, hallelujah, a penthouse in Manhattan. Do you know how much a penthouse in Manhattan cost? I don't either. That's why my mind going, oh, Lord. But I pastor can tell you that it is cost some money for a penthouse in Manhattan. He jumped from the 18th floor from a penthouse in Manhattan. You may say he crazy. You may say, what was wrong with him? But can I tell you, when frustration gets on you, it will push you. Frustration will push you. And can I tell you, but you got to know there's another option. The thing I like about God is that there is another option. And sometimes in life, we got to find out there is another option. And you need somebody in your life to tell you there is another option. That's why pastors are this thing called mental health. They've been talking about this mental health because it's very trendy right now. But I still believe it is true. The enemy is attacking your mind. The enemy is attacking what you think. The enemy is attacking, and he's putting things around you to make you believe that you cannot get out. He's putting things around you to make you believe, and he's putting that one word, no, 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 at you to make you believe that there is no recovery, there is no rescue, and there won't be no redemption. But I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, I know a God, good God Almighty, Jehovah HaMashiach, thank you, Jesus, that I know there's rescue, redemption, and recovery. Matter of fact, can I tell you that right now? I believe God's coming in the next 4 months. I know there's going to be rescue, recovery, and redemption. I'm just not preaching here just to excite you. I'm telling you a truth. God, this is the year of your testimony. This is the year of your testimony. And some of you, all of us, not just some of the prophets, not everyone of us, under the sound of my voice, you're going to experience a thing called better days. Why? I make a declaration that I will not be frustrated with the process. I will learn, I will gather, I will get whatever I need from it and get whatever I need from it and grow from it. But see, the reason why frustration comes is to grow you. Can I tell you, God's trying to grow you. God's trying to grow you. And what God does is allow situations to happen. But I'm going to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I got to tell you something. But he says, there's a power that worketh within you. Can I tell you something? Jesus is not getting ready to come out the sky. He ain't going to do it. He says, I've given you the power to overcome. I've given you it. And you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, when he says that to you, he means you and I got to do something. Why? We got to dig in our will. There's a thing called the will of a man. There's a thing called the will of a man. And when you dig inside of the will of a man, you will find the treasures and the gifts and the tools inside of you to make it happen. And all you need to do is find somebody in your life that can speak a word over your life and tell you, I'm with you. I'm your brother and your sister. I'm joining hands with you. And I'm going to let you know you're going to come out. If I got to drag you out, you're going to come out. If I got to push you out, you're going to come out. If I got to bring you out, you're going to be brought out. Don't get, you must grow. Glory to God. That's why frustration comes. Because, and I'm finishing. Frustration comes like this, because the enemy wants you to talk the language of frustration. He wants you to say, why do they have? Why? What's up with them? Why do the rappers look like they're doing that? And the basketball players like they're doing that? And the TV people like they're doing that? He wants to put that in your face. So that's all you see. But can I tell you something? As much as I like television, I found television's real name. Tell lies to your vision. And I like television. But what television does is tell lies to your vision. Because it wants you to think this is real. But can I tell you something? The Bible, God told me the other day, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lift up him first. And when you lift up him first, you will find that that is the real reality and the other stuff can't even imagine. But what's going on in our lives is that we look at that so much that that's what we call standard. We look at that so much, we call that standard. And I understand, I like diamonds, I do. I like diamonds, I like them, I like the earrings, I like all that, I do. I like Mercedes, I like all that, I like Cadillacs, I like all that. But I recognize I cannot put it above who he is. I like this right here. I love this right here. But I'm not in love with the preaching. I'm in love with the pool. Makes me the ability to preach. I'm in love with that. That makes you who you are. And that gives you riches. Somebody other than the pastor, what is rich? See, we have called it money. And I know it seems as though that's money. But when you can go home and there's peace in your house, that's rich. When you can go home and find your kids run up to you and say, I love you, that's rich. When you got a wife that kisses you when you go to bed at night, that's rich. When you go in the kitchen and find food cooked, that's rich. When your clothes get washed, that's rich. When there's an understanding, that's rich. When you can go places and there's no problem, that's rich. You go on vacation when you want to, that's rich. It's not about your money. It's about what, who I am. Glory to God. That's what rich is. Sure, I would like to have an abundance of the millions of dollars, but if I never get that, thank the Lord be to God, because somebody said I graduated summa cum laude. I didn't graduate summa cum laude. I graduated thank you, Lord. So it's not important to me, because Jesus said if you lift him up higher. He said if you lift him up higher, the problem is it's who you got up high. It's who you got up high. Because what you put above you is what you will follow. What you put above you, what you will follow. So if you put this above you, that's what you will follow. If you put social media above you, that's what you will follow. If you put acquisition above you, that's what you will follow. Because the Bible says it's in a man's heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's why he says, write this word upon the tables of your heart. Why? Because then you will follow me. And not only will you follow me, I will, hallelujah, not only will you follow me, I will pull. Glory to God. Not only will you follow me, you'll be able to go where I go. And I'm going to tell you one thing I love about God is that you don't got to be rich. You don't got to have a lot of money. Matter of fact, you may have come from the backside of the mountain. But one thing about God, when God gets ready for you to show yourself strong and show himself mighty in your life, when God gets ready to bring you forth, when God gets ready to do it in your life, it don't matter what the TV say, it don't matter what the money say, it don't matter, because when God gets ready, there's nothing nobody else could do. When God gets ready to make it your will, when God's getting ready to make it your reality, when God get ready
to make it your life. There's nothing the enemy can do about it. Slap your neighbor and tell your neighbor one more time, I'm not gonna be frustrated.
I'm not gonna be frustrated. I'm not gonna be frustrated because I recognize that frustration. That frustration will only cause me to go through the same cycles. Frustration will have me miss moments in my life that I should not have missed. Frustration will cause me to live in lack. Frustration will cause me to always turn around and look but what's behind my back and never have me looking forward. But I got a message from Kevin today to tell you that you don't get frustrated with purpose. Don't get frustrated with purpose. You ought to learn. That's why he gave us this thing called praise. And sometimes people say, Pastor, I don't want to go around every day saying, thank you, Jesus, praise Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You don't have to. All you got to do is get up every day and start walking. Your step says, thank you. Your step says, thank you, thank you, thank you. You moving your, you brushing your teeth. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God was already smart about it. God said, I'll make you praise me. Even you don't want to praise me. When your hand goes up, it's saying thank you. Oh my God. Oh my God. When you're walking, it's saying thank you. When you're blinking, it's saying thank you. When you're talking, it's saying thank you. Something in your life, even when you breathe, you're saying thank you. Because what goes in must come out. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes, oh my God. So when you get ready to command yourself to praise, that's why he's giving you praise and he's giving you weapons of war, weapons of mass destruction, weapons that will cause your enemy to come down, weapons that will back your enemy up. And the greatest weapon you have to back your enemies up, you know, brother, sister, I'm going to have a service called Let's Scream. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to have a service called Let's Scream. Because I found out that the Bible says that there's a frequency that happens when you begin to open your mouth. And when the frequency happens, you begin to open your mouth. Just ask the people of Jericho. When the sons and daughters of the Most High God began to get a word from the Lord and they began to follow the instruction of God, the Bible says that they walked around Jericho 7 days without saying one word, and the people on top of Jericho was looking down and they were saying, y'all must be crazy. Something wrong with y'all. Y'all walking around this place for 7 days. Nothing happened. But then a word came from heaven and God said, open your mouth, scream, open your mouth, yell, open your mouth, holler. Sometimes you gotta holler till they hear me, holler till it hears me. Glory to God. Glory to God. You gotta holler till they hear me. And the Bible says they hollered so much that 9 feet thick walls. How in the world can 9 feet thick walls? 9 feet. You be in a basketball court, you look up, the goal is 10 feet. 9 feet thick walls. And they screamed. And the scientists say, and the scientist bears witness. The scientists say 4 million people focused in one area and they screamed at max capacity. When the sun was shining at its apex, that sound wave picked up magnetic force. Jesus, the decibel level got so heavy. Have you ever been to a football game and they begin to scream, the stadium begin to rock? Because nobody's jumping up and down because they're screaming and the stadium begins to rock. Why? Because the decibels. I want you to know, you can talk, oh my God, you can holler your way to breaking the enemy's roots on your back.
There's a frequency that happens. There's a thing, that's why they call it sound waves. Because when waves sound, they must bounce off something. And what happens is they begin to penetrate a certain area. And when those sound waves with the sunlight begins to hit the certain way, note what I just said. Your voice with the sun's light. Glory, I said again. Your voice with the sun's light hit a barrier that seems to be unbreakable. But all of a sudden, a crack happened. And when a crack happened, good God Almighty, all the weight that was on, oh my God, all I need is a crack. Glory to God, and I'll get my way through the door. Thank you, Jesus. That's why sometimes you got to learn to give God a backdoor praise. Because I only got in the back way. I got in the back way. I didn't come to the front door like everybody else. I got in the back way. I had to get my, there's a rapper that says, I work myself from the top, now I'm here. From the bottom, now I'm here. I think that's how I do it. See, I don't listen to kind of music, so I don't really know. Okay, start from the bottom. Thank you. Start from the bottom. See, I don't listen to that kind of music, so I really don't know. But I started from the bottom, now I'm here. That's sometimes what you're going to have to do in your life. You're going to start from the bottom, make a noise, and watch God break the roots of the enemy. Watch God break it. Because I'm telling my brothers and sisters, I tell you, God is good. God is good. They're making me laugh. Hallelujah. I just don't know that kind of music. I'm sorry. But what happens is in your life, and I'm done. What happens in your life is that what you put up on top of you, what you make your look up, what you make your look up. God, Jesus says, if I be lifted up, let me put it in a different context. If the word be lifted up, the word will draw. The word will draw it to you. So if the word is over your head, that's when pastor gives communion, and I'm done. When pastor gives communion, what we do now is that we just don't take it. We lift it, we take it, and we lift it over our head. Because I'm looking, because it's higher than I. He's the focus. I'm the recipient. He gives a word. I get the word. I receive the benefits. He gets the glory. I get the word. He sends the word. I get the word. I receive the benefits of getting the word. He gets the glory. One more time. He sends the word. I get the word. I get the benefits of receiving this word. He gets the glory. So what God is trying to do in your life is saying, let me send you a word. And you take that word breaks a cycle. And when that word, because his word is full of seed. Oh my God. His word is full of seed. And what can, oh my God, we have beautiful concrete out here. But if I put a tree seed in the middle of this concrete, sooner or later that seed is going to start growing and it's going to bust up this concrete. Why? Seeds will break cycles in your life. He says, let me send a word to you. I'll send this word, and this word, you grab it. Take the word, the grab word. Put it inside of you. Work the grab. Don't just put it inside. Work that word. After you work that word, then you get the benefits. He gets the glory. My brothers and sisters, don't be frustrated. The reason why I'm preaching this and I'm talking to you because God was talking to me. And I'm telling you, we're getting ready to have prayer revival when I'm done. We're getting ready to have prayer revival from now until the end of the year. Every Thursday, you should meet Pastor online. We pray every Thursday from now to the end of the year. Because seeds are going to release break cycles in your life. And some of us have been going, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready already for my 2023. I'm preparing myself for my 2023. The month of September is the month of birthing, giving out birthing. And I believe God's going to birth. I know he's birthing some things out in us because he's birthing some things out in me. I never believed like I believe now. And you may say, I've been preaching a long time. And I've been seeing God do things with us a long time. But I read a story the other day how God took 8 people and changed the life of a nation. He took Noah, 8 people, and changed the life of the world.
I believe you and I are on the precipice path for this stuff to happen in our life. Our unequivocal God is going to do great things in your life. And I'm unapologetically looking for improvement. I'm unapologetically looking for increase. I'm unapologetically looking for the goods of God in the land of the living. I want to see God so magnified, so bigger than big, where it's like you look at the mountain, you see, I want him that way in your life. And I want the place of promise to be that place. If this message bless you in any way, shape, or form, we're going to give our tithe and our offering. But I want to tell you something. When you give tithe and offering, God taught me something. When Brother Cliff Lowe began to say what he said, when he began to say what he said, thank you, God began to talk, because people began to say a lot of stuff about that. But the Lord told me something. You know what? Tithe to the word. Tithe to the word, and you'll never go wrong. Give the word. Seed the word. You'll never go wrong. And then he said, there is no seed time and harvest. I said, huh? He said, there's no seed time and harvest in heaven. It's only here on earth. Earth is seed time, plant, wait for it to come up. And it happens. Not in heaven. Heaven's seed time, harvest. Heaven says, when it's spoken, there it is. Bam, here it is. Heaven is, that's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is now faith. Is. And it's only when you live in that. That you'll begin to see what God can do and how God, what God can really be in your life. I'm telling you that God's going to do something in your life. My brothers and sisters, we're going to give our tithe and our offer. This message will bless you in any way, shape, or form. Prepare yourself to give. If this message bless you in any way, shape, or form, empower you, encourage you, I admonish you to give. You're giving on good ground, good soil. How do I know it's good? How do I know good ground and good soil? Because we had a testimony the other day, and I love the testimonies of God, is that a friend of mine told me, Pastor, I need some of the oil y'all be praying over and some of the oil y'all be shouting over, because my mama cannot get to sleep. My mama cannot get to sleep. Something's raised, something's knocking on the door, and something's beating on the walls, and she cannot get to sleep. Said, Pastor, I need some of that oil. I said, okay. Notice this. She ain't like churchy, but she understands the power that worketh within. So I went and got some oil, and I told her, the power ain't in the oil. The oil is only a reminder. So she took the oil, went home, and I gave her the instructions to read. And she opened the door and told the devil, you and your friends, you get out of our house. You are not welcome here. You are not welcome here. And the witch that put it in here, you go find her and torment her. And she opened the door and told the devil to get out. He is illegal and he's not wanted. She took the oil, put it on the top of the door, the side of the door, and the bottom of the door. Went to the back door, opened the door, put the oil on the top, the side, and the bottom of the door. Told me the same day that happened at 7 o'clock p.m. Her mama goes to sleep at 9:30. Her mama slept so good, she almost missed work the next day because the enemy was kicked out. And I'm telling you something. The Lord told me the other day, and nobody got to believe me, it's okay. He told me to cast the devil out. He said, cast him out. I said, Lord, what? He said, cast him out. You trying to sit there and be his friend and to talk to him, oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't. No. You have no authority here. The crazy part about it,
I was watching a movie, and I heard the man said, "You have no voice here." And I took the same thing and told the devil, "You got no voice here." You got to be like that. You got, if you got to go get your Bible, put it in your hand, drag yourself to your fear, and tell your fear, "You got no voice here." You may be scared, but grab your Bible, grab your word, and tell the devil, "You got to stop speaking to me. You have no voice." Because the devil can only attack what you think. He cannot attack what you know. The devil can never attack what you know. He only attacks what you think. He is a copycatter, a deceiver. He's of no good. He's of ill repute. My brothers and sisters, if this has blessed you in any way, shape, or form, I need you to get your offering together. We're going to give together. We're going